Well, as I mentioned with the kids, it is Christ the King Sunday, where we celebrate Jesus as being the King of our lives, and we reflect on that. Here in Canada, some 2,000 years from the time that Jesus lived, we find ourselves as part of a constitutional monarchy, which means that the Queen is our head of state. But she has no real power to exercise. She has abdicated in many ways from that role and is a figurehead. Of course, there are other kingdoms in the world where this is not the case, where individuals or royal families still hold power and rule. And of course, there are other countries where individuals wish they were kings and rule as autocrats and dictators. But in most cases, in our case of a constitutional monarchy, the crown is passed down in an orderly format of succession. And throughout history, this has also been the case. And the only way to rise to power, if you weren't born in a royal family, and if you weren't the firstborn son, was through violence. If you wanted to be king and you knew it wasn't yours to inherit, violence was your path to the crown. David became king of Israel in part because he slew Goliath. He was a shepherd and he was not the oldest, he was the youngest. And he grew to be a great warrior. And David ultimately ascends to the throne through battle, when Jonathan, his friend, and Saul are killed. And David is then anointed by God as king of Israel. And that is one of the interesting things about Israel, when we look at it historically as it names its kings, is that God is always understood to be the sovereign of Israel. And human kings only rule by God's favor. There is no claim on a king of Israel to be divine, as we see in Egypt and as later would be seen in Rome with the cult of the emperor and the divinity that is attributed to the Roman Empire. King Herod was granted his title of king of Judea by the Roman Senate. He ruled under the watch of the Roman Empire. And he was only given this title of King of Judea after he waged war. He was not born of royalty. This story is a common one in the ancient world. Kingdoms would be overthrown by rebellion or through conquest by neighboring kingdoms. So enter Pilate and his meeting with Jesus. And perhaps calling it a meeting is being kind. Jesus has, after all, been arrested and is a prisoner. The lines are omitted from our reading, but it's not long before Jesus is sentenced to death by Pilate. Now, Pilate has seen it all. And now standing before him is a man who does not present as a warrior, is not an aristocrat interested in trying to wrest power for himself. Instead, here is an itinerant preacher, a humble man wearing simple clothing, and those who have handed him over to Pilate to pass judgment upon have said he calls himself King of the Jews. And so what is Pilate to think of all of this? My feeling is that Pilate didn't take any of this very seriously. Probably didn't know what all the fuss was about, and most likely did not appreciate being questioned by Jesus. I think Pilate thought it was a farce, and he had no idea who was truly standing before him. Pilate asks Jesus, "Are you King of the Jews?" And Jesus replies in typical fashion with a question of his own. Jesus does not confirm nor deny, but he does not confirm that he is king of the Jews. And in their banter back and forth, Pilate eventually is led to answer his own question and proclaim that Jesus is a king. But Jesus never ascribes kingship to himself. His response to Pilate is, "I have come to testify to the truth." It's interesting, perhaps, at this point to compare the two ideas of kingship that we had presented to us this morning. The passage in 2 Samuel details the final words of David. And in many ways, the passage from John's Gospel captures some of the last words of Jesus. And there are striking differences in their attitudes and ideas of kingship. Two very different personas of kingship. If Pilate was thinking of kings as the world knows what a king is in his time and place, then Jesus does not fit the bill. Jesus looks the opposite of one that we would expect to see one establishing themselves as a king. And so it's no wonder that Pilate sees no basis for charging Jesus. Jesus does not fit the mold of an earthly king. He might have David as an ancestor, but the kingdom of Israel when David was king, and the kingdom that Jesus proclaims, are night and day, vastly different. Pilate cannot even comprehend what it is that Jesus is talking about. And that's the difference. The kingdom of God is not a place. It's a perspective, a way of looking at the world. We are taught to think of kingdoms and empires as physical spaces, something that we can look up in a map or a place that we can physically visit, filled with monuments and grand buildings. And I admit that one of my pastimes and my love of history is to being able to travel in Europe and see the relics of ancient kingdoms, these castles. That's what we think about. And that carries through into our modern world as we still divide up our countries, our kingdoms on the map. And for a while, we might have said the same thing about Christianity. We might have said, well, we can look at a map and we can say, this is the known world, this is the Christian world. Because at a certain point, the Christian church dominated Western Europe and the North Atlantic society. And it was what we referred to as Christendom. It was felt that in order to carry out the Great Commission found in Matthew, we literally had to redraw the map of the world to be completely Christian. And I would argue that this was never was, and certainly now is not the case. Look back on the actions of supposed Christian nations, and a history of cruelty is demonstrated. And this extends right up into the last few decades in Canada with the residential school system. At times, as we view the grand strokes of history, I am hard-pressed to find evidence of God's grace. And so perhaps it is best if we stop defining ourselves as a Christian nation. Perhaps it is best if we stop viewing the kingdom as a place. Carolyn Lewis writes, "The kingdoms of this world bank on sowing suspicion and authorizing autonomy. The kingdoms of this world depend on individualism and everyone for themselves alone. The kingdoms of this world insist that hierarchy will establish successful rule and that a ladder mentality that keeps people in their proper places is the mark of achieving and accomplishing leadership. Not so with the truth. For Jesus' kingdom chooses relationships. Jesus' kingdom chooses the perils and predicaments of flesh. His kingdom tells the truth about the truth that God so loved the world. And this is what we, in our time, in our place, need to choose between. The kingdom of the world or the kingdom of God. A place we can physically visit and mark on a map, or a perspective about how we choose to live in that physical place. This is the choice that is before us as followers of Christ. To confess that the kingdom of the world does not meet our needs. Rather, it is the perspective of God's kingdom that we need to choose and follow. May God grant us his blessing as we choose to follow his Son. Amen.